New York Times employees are on a one-day strike over pay. Staffers who are taking part are urging readers to boycott all Times products, even, yep, the Wordle game. And the dust is settling on the biggest layoffs in a decade at CNN. NPR media correspondent David Falkenflik joins us. Hey, David.
Hey there.
So let's start with the strike at the Times. This seems big. While some other media companies are struggling right now, the New York Times is seeing profits in the hundreds of millions. Why are they not passing more of this on to their writers?
Well, you're framing that exactly rightly, in the sense that the Times is kind of the exception in what we're seeing in the newspaper business. It's doing wonderfully along with, say, the Wall Street Journal. The Times CEO came out late last night and said it cost him another $100 million to accede to all of the union's demands. But the union has been working for, you know, basically 2 years without a contract. And it does seem like this is all negotiable. You know, that the Times wants to give about half the raise than what the Guild wants. It would seem that there'd be some sort of middle terrain to find there.
And is it all just about pay, David, for staff? Are they negotiating for anything else that's a sticking point?
Oh, you know, what I'm told by people at the Times is that there's a series of issues that there's some real distance between the two sides on, and that even if they had, that the company had exceeded the union's demands for these sort of marathon round-the-clock negotiating sessions, they wouldn't have come close to getting it done by midnight earlier today, which was what the union demanded in order to stave off this strike. But pay is by far the biggest issue. You know, they haven't gotten a raise in several years, and it's been time now of significant inflation. They've been working without this contract, so they're also not only negotiating for a couple of years from now, but also a couple of years retrospectively to try to make up for some of the pay they didn't receive. They say, look, the Times is adding so many millions of subscribers digitally. It's adding the bottom line, paid over $500 million to acquire the sports site The Athletic. There should be some money flowing to us as well.
I got to say, David, it's kind of hard to imagine the pages of the New York Times not having, you know, its writers that many people know and love to fill them. So it's saying that it's just going to be a one-day strike. Any chance it could go longer?
Well, I haven't heard that so far, but I think it's both intended to inflict some pain. You're seeing some editors and managers and other people sort of hustling into action to post stories, a lot of stories from abroad where fewer of the people are represented by the union, a small number of bylines from Washington. But if you look at the story that the newspaper posted about the walkout itself, that was without a byline at all. And I think that you're going to see far fewer stories posted. The real question that you raised, could it be done in the future? I think this demonstration of the fact that over 1,100 people signed their names to this statement saying that they would walk out was a way of indicating not only are they willing to do this today, but the union that represents most of the journalists in the newsroom has the support of so many journalists there. They could do this for longer if they wanted.
Yeah. Okay, let's move to CNN, where, you know, Chris Litch was hired earlier this year to turn things around at the cable network. But last week, he announced hundreds of layoffs, some on air people, but many off camera. The New York bureau was shuttered. The head of news gathering in Europe was let go. It's kind of staggering.
It's significant, not unexpected, but really significant. I mean, this was a part of what Chris Licht kind of knew would be the landscape that he walked into, not of his creation, we should note. He basically shuttered CNN Plus, which was an enormous investment in the digital side. So digital had already taken a lot of cuts, but a lot of reporters were let go, contributors, writers for the website. Martin Savage, a longtime veteran foreign correspondent, Chris Saliza, a political analyst for the website. I saw a number of CNN business reporters were let go. He'd already axed Reliable Sources, the Sunday media criticism show. But this is a significant move to cut costs in the face of declining ratings in the post-Trump era, and also to deal with just some extraordinary financial headwinds that CNN is about to face.
And CNN's not alone. Associated Press just offered early retirement to 200 workers. Gannett Company laid off staff, including executive editors at some of its major newspapers. Even our bosses here at NPR just announced a hiring freeze and the need to cut about $10 million. David, is this part of the economy nearing a recession, or is something else going on here?
I think that what you see from advertisers in pulling back is real. But I think also at the same time, you can't ignore the fact that the acquisition of CNN and its parent company, Time Warner, from AT&T by Discovery entailed the taking on an incredible amount of debt. And you're seeing the corporate executives at Discovery saying to most of their units, they're going to have to do some severe cuts to make the money work. And that's part of what CNN is facing as well. It doesn't have to do with journalism. Its competitors would note CNN has always been more richly staffed than a lot of the others in the cable news space. And I think they're watching that being pared back before our very eyes.
Okay, David, 2-second answer, yes or no on this New York Times day of strike. If you're a Wordle fan, are you going to avoid it today in solidarity?
Oh, man, the Wordle and the Mini. It's kind of my crack. I don't know what to tell you.
David Falkenfick, NPR's media correspondent. Thank you.
You bet.